This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Good afternoon, ILTA listeners. My name is Jason Baker, and I'm with Fish & Richardson PC, and we're welcome to our podcast, Windows 10, Another Runaway Train. We're joined today by Jay Preck with Netrix LLC, and we'll be discussing issues law firms are finding with the constant pace of updates to the Windows and Office ecosystem. We'll also have a survey attached to the posted podcast on the ILTA website. If you wouldn't mind taking a few moments to fill that out, so we may be able to touch on interested topics during our webinar at the beginning of June. We would greatly appreciate it. Jay, would you like to start by giving us a short background before we begin?
Yes, thank you, Jason. So hello, everybody. My name is Jay Parak. As Jason mentioned, I'm with the consulting firm Netrix based out of Chicago. I've been consulting for over 20 years, a lot of that in legal, working with a lot of law firms around the country since 1996. So my background has been around desktop computing, end-user computing, and engineering since Windows 95 to Windows XP to 7 to now to 10. Looking forward to this conversation.
Great. Well, let's just dive right in. There's quite a bit to this. I mean, I guess, Jay, it'd be fair to say that the real problem that we're facing, first of all, is Windows 7 is coming to the end of life in January of 2020, right? That's a hard stop, and firms must go to Windows 10. Can you talk a little bit about what maybe some of these firms that haven't started planning their upgrade, or maybe they're new to it, are going to be experiencing in the upcoming months?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So January 14, 2020 is the end of life support for Windows 7. So that means no phone call to Microsoft for support, no hotfixes, security updates, and so forth. There is an extension option that Microsoft's offering certain customers where you could buy extended support, but it's not cheap, and they're making it really expensive to kind of deter customers from doing that. So Windows 7 needs to go, right? And Windows 10 is the next evolution of the Windows operating system that Microsoft released, believe it or not, 4 years ago. So July 2015 was the first initial release of Windows 10, and this July we'll be celebrating the four-year anniversary. For law firms that have not gone to Windows 10, hopefully those projects are already underway or at least somewhat started, because the runway now is getting shorter and shorter. And those that haven't started yet, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to consider, which we'll talk about a little bit in this podcast, as well as our webinar series, mainly around not only getting it out there, but what does that mean? What does it mean around keeping it up and running and in a current state, which we'll kind of discuss in the next few minutes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, I think the biggest question that I've experienced, and maybe you can agree with, is that Windows 10 and Office 365 servicing models, well, they can be really confusing. Can you kind of explain? It all goes back to Windows as a service, right? So can you kind of explain to maybe some of the newer people that don't understand the verbiage a little bit, what is Windows as a service?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, in the past 20 plus years since Windows has really been adopted by corporations, law firms and non-law firms, Windows has been a very static operating system, right? So if you look at Windows 3.11 to Windows 95 to the last big version, which was Windows 7. And, you know, and I skipped Windows 8 and Vista because they weren't really highly adopted as Microsoft thought they were. But Windows 7 was the last highly adopted operating system, and which was a very static operating system. And before that, it was Windows XP. And those operating systems lasted for 9 to 10 years in a lot of organizations. But the problem was it didn't change, right? And you always had to wait for the next version of Windows, which could be a few years down the line, or it could be 10 years down the line, like we saw from Windows XP to Windows 7. What Windows as a service is kind of changes that game a little bit, right? To Windows, it's new, but to the industry, technology industry, as a service, it's not. So if you look at your, think about your phones, a lot of us have Android phones or iPhones. The servicing model has been there for years, right? So when Apple says, here's iOS version 11.1, 11.2, 12.1, all of that, you're not running out buying a new iPhone. Again, maybe some fanboys might, right? But you're doing an in-place upgrade of that iPhone to a newer version of that operating system, and you're getting new features and new functionality out of that. So it's not just a hot fix or a security fix. It's actually a feature update. And that's what Windows as a Service is. It's a feature update to Windows ongoing. So the goal here is now you get Windows 10 out there one time, And now then you keep it current. So every 6 months, Microsoft will have new feature updates, just like iOS has been doing and Android, Google's been doing with Androids. And those feature updates, which are also called semi-annual channels, which we'll talk about, will add new features and functionality. So you're not waiting 2-3 years for a new operating system. You're getting newer features as Microsoft develops it, right? So for challenges to law firms is that, or any organization, in matter of fact, we're not used to that type of model, right? We cannot touch updates to these users, right? They're used to patch Tuesdays and they're used to getting patches and rebooting after 5 minutes, but they're not used to getting newer features in Office or in Windows. And that's where the challenge comes into play. And that's why we need to make sure everybody understands how to do it, why you have to do it, and what are the pros and cons of this.
Yeah, you mentioned challenges and you named off a few. What are the frequency of these changes? You know, these are incremental updates, they're adding features. So as opposed to having large major updates, it's more of an incremental status. What are the frequency of those changes?
Yeah, so you know, a lot of you, if you remember during the release of Windows 10 4 years ago, they used to be called Current Branch and Current Branch for Business, right? And those were just the different types of releases. In the last year and a half, 2 years, Microsoft kind of went into a different direction, right? Because in the past, these updates were not predictable. We didn't know when they were coming. Microsoft said, here's a new update. And all of 2016, we only seen one, right, which was called the anniversary update. So what's happening now is Microsoft put a little rhythm into it. So we know exactly when they're coming, when they're expected, and then it's up to us how we want to deploy it. So it's called the semi-annual channel, right? And semi-annual, obviously, it's twice a year. So around March and September timeframes, you will see a Microsoft announcement around the next version of Windows being ready for production. So there's a September release and there's a March release, also known as the fall release and the spring release. And all of these releases have a numbers, 4-digit number associated with them. So the first 2-digit is the year and the last 2-digit is the month, right? So when you hear 1803 or 1809, that's the 2018 September release if it's 09 or March release if it's 03. So no longer if somebody says I'm on Windows 10, that's no longer good enough. You need to understand what channel, what release they're on, and that will tell you what features or functionality they have or they don't have, right? So twice a year. So the March release usually will, it takes about a month before Microsoft finalizes their code, creates the ISOs, and creates all the documentation. So most likely the March release will come out in April. So we'll be expecting 1903 this month. And then the September releases usually come around October timeframe, usually mid to late October, as Microsoft firms up the builds and uploads it to their volume license websites to be able to download.
Yeah, that makes sense. So basically, there's a lot of decision-making as opposed to just dropping Windows 10, for instance, and you really kind of have to think about what kind of, updating patterns and start really planning throughout, your environment, it seems like, to really properly prepare. What happens if you don't keep up on the Windows and 0365, like Pro Plus, up to date? I mean, I would assume there's going to be some negative features. Is there a lack of support from Microsoft? Or talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the life cycle of each release is a little bit different. So within the last fall, actually, Microsoft announced that they're going to have two different types of support models for the releases. So if you decide to go with the September release of Windows 10, you have, and this is only for the enterprise licensing, not for the professional. If you're an enterprise Microsoft customer and you're using Windows 10 Enterprise, if you do the September releases, you have 30 months to update Windows to another version of Windows 10. So after 30 months is done from the initial release, that version of Windows 10 is no longer supported by Microsoft, which means hot fixes, security fixes, critical fixes, and a phone call to Microsoft for support ends. So every September release, you have 30 months to get to the next September release or another supported version of Windows 10 before your end of life. If you are not an enterprise customer and you have Windows 10 Professional, you have 18 months, regardless of what version, if it's March or September, you have 18 months of support. Now, for the customers that are enterprise and they want to be a little bit more faster, they want those feature updates much faster, they don't want to do it every 30 months, you have the option to go to the March release, which is your spring release. Enterprise or professional spring releases always have an 18-month life cycle, right? So that means within 18 months, you have to move to another version of Windows 10 to be in that support timeframe. Office 365, you have a couple of different channel options. One is a monthly channel, which is means every month you could get updates to get features and functionality. But for law firms, I don't recommend it. And Microsoft actually on their website does not recommend it. And they don't specifically call out law firms. What they do specifically call out is add-ons. So if you're working with macros and add-ons, Microsoft recommends not doing the monthly update channel, which means that every month your users will see new icons and new changes and so forth. The other option outside of monthly is what we recommend is a semi-annual channel, just like Windows 10, right? So twice a year, you'll get updates. And there's a semi-annual channel targeted, which allows you to get the updates as Microsoft released them, and then you can start testing. So your QA, your desktop folks, your Office, your DMS folks, they can start testing the semi-annual targeted version. And then about 4 months later, Microsoft will basically drop the targeted and just call it semi-annual, which means it's ready for business, ready for deployment, because it's been tested. They went through their process. They fixed any issues that's known over the through the monthly updates. And that's when you can start rolling out to the rest of the teams. So the options you have is semi-annual channel and monthly. But for law firms, for Office 365 Pro Plus, we recommend the semi-annual channel. All of these channels for Office 365 has an 18-month life cycle. So within 18 months, you would have to update to the next version of Office 365 through SCCM or WSUS or whatever your update tools that you use.
Wow. The planning alone, you know, at Fish, we've been on Windows 10 for quite a while, and that 18 months sounds like a long time, but it was kind of hard to keep up with. So it's kind of nice that they're kind of expanding that out a little bit and giving people more options. And, you know, I think a lot of places might really benefit from that. I think the O365 updates, I agree with the semi-annual. You know, it seems like it would be a much better overall option for most of legal vertical, given the third-party add-ons and things like that. So I think that's a great point. Now, we've talked about the time frame of these updates, the Windows feature updates, the Office 365 things. How do organizations take the updates and upgrades now? Is it still the old WSUS server running in the background? Is it SCCM? Is it coming straight from the cloud? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's a couple of things to consider when you do these updates, right? One is, especially for law firms, you want to test out things really extensively, because the last thing you want is roll out an update to an attorney or to a user where something just didn't work properly because you just trusted Microsoft, right? So you have to get on the preview versions of these tools, right, or these solutions. So Office 365, there's a preview version where you could, as Microsoft is developing and they're testing internally, you could get that preview. And Windows 10 is called the Insider Preview, and they're easy to enable, and we could go through some of that in the webinar. But you want to make sure that you're always, as a desktop person or Office 365 person at the firm, you want to make sure you're always on a preview version on your second or VM virtual machine, where you could start testing and understand what's coming in the Microsoft roadmap. The other thing around updates is, yeah, you know, how do you get it out there, right? You're not forced, right? If you're a managed environment through like SCCM, WSUS, or other tools where you're managing the updates, Microsoft is not going to force the updates on you unless you have, you know, no policies or anything in place to block those. You want to be able to control these updates, right? And one thing is, we talk about technology, we'll talk about, you know, SCCM has great features, right? SCCM, if you're not an SCCM shop, you might want to take a look at that, because Microsoft makes SCCM, and no one knows how to manage Windows and Office better than Microsoft. So SCCM now has built-in tools around Office 365 Pro Plus management. It's got a dashboard, actually has a wizard to create the package for you with the customization of, if you want, you know, Publisher and Visio and all this stuff in it or not, you could customize it fully. And then also for Windows 10, SCCM has a full dashboard to understand your layout of your environment, who's on what channel and what's coming end of life with a nice little dashboard pie charts and so forth. So you want to use some of those tools to be able to plan out your servicing lifecycle, right? And you could create a servicing service plan in SCCM that says on day zero, maybe roll it out to the, you know, the testers, you know, 10 days later, do it to the IT department, 30 days later. So you could plan that out with some of these tools. But also want to make sure that it's not about just getting it out there. But there's a new focus on change management and user communication, right? Because these are not monthly patches where your PC will reboot and, you know, after 5 minutes, and, you know, because we're pushing out a new security patch or critical fix. These are major updates. These are feature updates, and this could be 3 gigs, 4 gigs updates that you push out. So the communication has to be planned out on what you're communicating that's happening. You know, what features they're going to see when they go back to their desktop and they log on. You know, when they open Word or Outlook, are they going to see a new icon that they didn't see before? Are they going to see something in the toolbar or the taskbar that they didn't see before? So change communication needs to be a big focus as part of your servicing plan for Office and for Windows 10, as well as, you know, part of your pilot. So when you pilot to your users, make sure change communication is part of your pilot, right? Because those users will tell you, hey, you didn't tell us about this, right? And you're going to update your communication notice to your users as well. The other piece is self-service, right? These are major updates. These could take 15 minutes. These could take 30 minutes, depending on the hardware. It could take an hour. So you want to make sure that you offer the users a option to upgrade themselves, right? So again, if you're an SCCM customer, you could publish these updates to the software center, right? And then put the notice out there. You have 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever your time frame you're comfortable with, to update yourself, because we don't know when you have the hour, right? Before you go to your 1 hour meeting, before you go to lunch, right? Before you go home at 5 o'clock, don't shut down. Just, you know, go ahead and do the update yourself, so we don't have to force it on you. But then if you don't do it in the next 3 months, when we give you, we're going to go ahead and force it on you, right? So get that self-service model going in your firm. You know, law firms are not used to that. You know, that's a very white glove service. We understand that. But this is going to be a change in culture that you need to kind of enforce, because it's going to make your life as an IT person much, much easier if you can knock out 30, 40% through self-service.
Yeah, I think that's a tremendous point. And just personally speaking, I can tell you that the changing culture, when you talk about Windows 10 and O365 and things like that, those can be really kind of overlooked. And they can be the make or break between a much smoother experience for the users and everyone involved, and maybe more difficult. So do you find, like, just in your day-to-day activity, you know, you help a lot of companies do this type of work. Do you find that people are really kind of caught off guard of what an actual Windows 10 upgrade looks like? I mean, kind of they're thinking old school, right? And we're going from Windows 7 to Windows 10, and it's just going to be basically more of the same. And when you start talking to your clients, your customers, do you find that they're kind of overwhelmed when they start looking at timetables and pilot groups and things like that? What's your experience with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we're still, you know, almost 4 years later, we're still having these conversations, right? You know, another reason why we're still doing these podcasts and webinars, because it's still a new concept for a lot of people, you know, the servicing model for their desktop. They're not used to it. They're used to it on their mobile phones, but they're not used to it on the desktop. So it's a lot, you know. And one of the things I hear a lot from customers and CIOs and directors and managers is that I don't have extra headcounts to do this. How do I keep up? How do I make sure that we do this right? And are we, you know, why is Microsoft forcing us, right? And Microsoft's changing their ways as they learn from the customers and the community, right? And that's why the 30-month life cycle has been added, to kind of give everybody more time to plan and test and so forth. You know, and also Microsoft provided free tools out there to help you with some of the compatibility, you know, analytics and so forth. So Windows Analytics, which is part of the Azure platform, which is now free, right? Not Azure, but just the Windows Analytics platform. And within that, there's a tool called Upgrade Readiness, which allows you to start looking at your data and start seeing that, hey, you know, Microsoft knows about these applications, because telemetry, which is built into Windows 10, is feeding Microsoft's database with all this information from PCs around the world. Over 500 million devices around the world is putting data in the Microsoft database. So now you could take advantage of that and say, hey, this version of Adobe Acrobat XYZ, it's on over 100,000 PCs around the world. My confidence just went high. So maybe I don't have to fully test Adobe, because 100,000 pieces around the world have it installed, so I know it works with Windows 10. So utilizing some of that data that's out there, and then the peer groups, right? You know, ILTA is a great peer community, peer-to-peer community, reaching out to other peers and the local chapters to understand what others are doing around change communication, servicing, what their models, what's working, what's not working. I think that's also important because every industry is different. Every culture within the user is different, but law firms really have a very unique culture, and law firm to law firm, the culture is usually the same. So peer-to-peer networking, understanding what your peers are doing around the same issue that you're having will also help out a lot.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that last part better. I mean, I think we're all beneficiaries of good peer-to-peer networking, especially with something like ILTA. Well, Jay, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things to talk about, and I think this is going to be a really productive web series, not only with you, your extensive knowledge, but also, you know, Joe Hoegler and Chris Owens from Kraft Kennedy and Chad Conroe from Perkins Coie. We're all planning on really taking part, and we're going to use the information from the surveys and the feedback that we've received to kind of figure out what people are looking to get more information on, and we're going to kind of customize these webinars to help people out. So I encourage all the listeners out there to go ahead and fill out the quick little survey and try to help us get going in the right direction on what you want to learn about when it comes to Windows 10 upgrading, Office 365 upgrading, the service models, and we'll get started on preparing our first webinar in a series, hopefully, that'll start sometime in June. So thanks again, Jay, for your time and your information, and everybody have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.